That was the Smiths with "The Queen Is Dead." My name is Zach Going. You're listening to the Astro Hour. I'm joined here by my sister Jessica.
Hello. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good.
Yeah, we just went ice skating.
We did just go ice skating.
It was real hard.
I had to, on the pre-show checklist for this show, which I need to fill out every show, there's a little form that says anything else you'd like to share after like some more important information. And I wrote "The Queen is dead," but I misspelled it. "The Queen is dad," and I just saved it. So you're welcome. Anything interesting you'd like to say, Jessica?
I would like to talk about Tanya Harding. Always.
Yeah, yeah. Hit me up with what you. All I know is that Jessica said something on Facebook about Tanya Harding. I don't know what she said.
Well, so there. Our mother is very active on Facebook, for those who don't know, and she saw somebody who was very anti-Tanya, and mom, to her credit, has always been Switzerland on the issue, because we are from Massachusetts, right? And
this is, of course, Tanya Harding, world's greatest figure skater in 1991.
Well...
So it's a hard way to describe her, especially because she kept losing the Olympics.
We can give her the credit. She was the first U.S. woman to land a triple axel in competition.
Okay.
And at a time, she was one of the best figure skaters in the world.
Okay.
That time was not during the end of her career, which is another story. Mom saw somebody on Facebook being, you know, very anti-Tanya and like, I don't know why we need to listen to her anymore. So then she posted something on Facebook and texted me and said, I need you to comment on this because you are radically pro-Tanya because mom is very smart like that. And so I did. And I wrote a short essay on why Tanya Harding is important and why it matters to listen to her story and why Nancy Kerrigan has sort of manipulated the media to become an Uber victim, which is a controversial opinion to tell on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, I think like it's weird because I think anyone who actively says that we shouldn't care about Tanya Harding is just kind of playing into the point of the movie, which is that in all of these discussions about her like legitimacy as a human being, we're all just kind of like we all like the American public kind of does this for fun, and it's all at her expense. Regardless of what we're talking about her, like we're all just kind of having fun at her expense. Which I find is very interesting. Like, if you don't care about Tanya Harding, just don't talk about Tanya Harding. You don't need to...
And that was a big part of what I was saying last night, which, by the way, the movie we're talking about is I, Tanya, obviously, is that a lot of people get their facts wrong about the attack, like the very basics, because even you didn't know and was like, Tanya Harding broke
to be fair,
her leg.
I didn't know anything about Tanya Harding until 2 weeks ago.
You were not alive.
Yeah. I had heard the name, and I think I had heard vaguely about the attack, but if you told me Tanya Harding, I would not immediately say, oh, the Nancy Kerrigan attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Nor should you, because she, I would say, was only, like, secondarily involved with it.
Yeah.
But that's a personal opinion, and I will leave that there. But a lot of people think, like, her leg was broken and that Tanya Harding, like, hit her herself with the tire iron, and neither of those things are true. Her knee was very badly bruised, like a serious medical bruise. Mm-hmm. But if it was any more than that, Nancy Kerrigan would not have been able to recover in time to compete in the Lillehammer Olympics a month later.
I mean, yeah, exactly. It happened a month later. Like, that's actually crazy.
And much to her credit, Nancy Kerrigan came back, like, in the best shape of her life and really competed very strongly. She was not strong enough to take the gold away from Oksana Baiul. I think she, you know, has
Loxana
some feelings about
Troy.
That.
Troy.
What?
That's Star Trek. Loxana Troy is Deanna Troy's mother. Lex, it's spelled weird because it's Star Trek.
Okay. And, you know,
you just said the name. What's her name?
Oksana Baiul.
Oksana Baiul.
She's Ukrainian.
What country? Okay. That makes sense. Those Soviets.
Part of what took them so long to do the medal ceremony during that Olympics is they couldn't find the Ukrainian national anthem. Also, and Oksana wanted to fix her makeup because she had been crying so much that like she had messed up her makeup.
What year did the Soviet Union fall? Because that's interesting. Was that the first Olympics where ex-Soviet states got to compete as themselves and not as the Soviet Union?
I cannot answer that.
That sounds like a very interesting.
Do you want me to vamp? What while year you
was
that?
What? Yeah, yeah.
94. It was 94. So yeah, and then of course Nancy Kerrigan famously was recorded being like, you know, waiting for Oksana to come out back onto the rink for the medal ceremony, and was like, well, I don't know why she's putting on her makeup if she's just gonna cry again, which I think is a good illustration of Nancy Kerrigan. Nancy Kerrigan's not a bad person, but she was a fierce competitor and did not feel great about getting a silver medal after everything she went through, and I guess rightly so, but she occasionally, I think, plays up the incident for a reason for her not taking home the gold, which is silly because a silver medal is just as good.
I mean, the thing about the Olympics, especially in like in graded sports like that, for lack of a better term, scored, I suppose.
Judged. They're very subjective.
Also, there was a Winter Olympics in 92, right? It was 92 and then 94.
Yes, because that was the first time.
It was the first time they were doing off years.
Right, which also makes the whole situation very interesting because like Christy Yamaguchi, Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding all had the benefit of having like two Olympics, which nobody would ever really get again.
Yeah.
Like,
without perfect timing, I suppose.
Yeah, people compete in more Olympics now, especially in figure skating sports, but they start a lot younger.
I think it's definitely possible you could say that someone who trained their whole life could compete at age 18 and then 4 years later compete at 22.
You can qualify in theory at like 15 or 16, I believe. But that is all very circumstantial. And that doesn't usually happen, but there are some, you know, very gifted skaters.
Okay, I mean, so that's 16, 20, and you can't really compete at 24, can you?
Well, so let's take Olympic ice dancers, Canada sweethearts, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, right? They're about to compete in their third Olympics. So they competed first in Vancouver, which is what, 2010?
2010, yeah.
And they were 18 and 21 or something like that.
Okay.
And then they competed in 2014, so 4 years older. And, you know, Scott is in his 30s now, and they're about to compete in Pyeongchang. That will probably be their last Olympics, though. But they got three Olympics in.
Can't believe anyone would go to Pyeongchang right now.
You would if you could compete in the Olympics.
It was not the first Olympics that the Ukraine was in, not as a Soviet state. That was 92 was the first time that they could compete.
But pretty close.
But I'm not sure, I mean, because they got their independence in August of 91, so I can't imagine that they would have gotten qualified skaters by the Olympics in early 92.
I mean, if they were already skating, like if they were already like amateur skaters at the
was that still amateur level. at that point?
Any skating is amateur sport because you don't get paid to skate, you get paid through sponsorships.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So even if you're an Olympic skater, you are an amateur skater and you compete in amateur sport.
When did the Olympics go amateur?
They've always been amateur. Nobody.
I mean, when did they drop the amateur?
It's still amateur. Like in figure skating, it depends on the sport. Like basketball, I believe, is still pro, and like it's like NBA players come and compete.
Yeah,
in the
Olympics. When did that start being a thing? Because I remember like for like Olympic hockey, that wasn't always the case. You needed to have amateur players.
Right. Well, isn't that Miracle on Ice? I don't really know enough about hockey.
But, well, I'm saying this because I know Miracle was an amateur team. So,
right.
So it must have happened after that.
Or before? No, I don't think they had amateur players. Isn't that part of it? I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
No, the point was that they were amateur players.
I think the point was they walked on water and it was a miracle on ice.
They didn't walk on water.
I mean, they walked on frozen water.
They didn't walk. They skated.
Shut up.
I'm gonna play a song.
Good idea.
Yeah. Watch out. this one.
I like this.
Invisible, and who or what she walks with makes no difference to me. The people that she meets, she turns them into sideshows. They're just here for their amusement. That's not what I want to be, but I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. The night is black and thick. I wander past your window and I catch a cigarette thrown from a jewel-encrusted hand. It comes on pretty quick. Exactly like a crocodile in search of a mirage across the undulating sand. But I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. I don't know why the people want to meet when all they know is that they'll breed like rabbits in the end. 'Cause ordinary people on the street, they never know. But if they can't be rabbits, they'll be friends. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that you see. Insanely jealous of the people that aren't me. I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. I just can't let it out. This feeling of insanity is thicker than a barge upon a shattered heap of coal. I know what it's about, like crying from a nightmare, and the one who lies beside you cannot hear to save a soul. But I'm insanely jealous of the people that you know. And I'm insanely jealous of the places that you go. And I'm insanely jealous of you. Yeah, I'm insanely jealous of you. The damage that we do is just so powerfully strong. They call it love. And the damage that we do, it just goes on and on and on. Not long enough. cracked and dry. The name is now illegible, and everything is lost upon the cracked and blistered hull. Beneath the yellow sky, the lovers trip beside a ship, but all I hear when they embrace is just a kiss of skulls. And I'm insanely jealous of the people that you see, and I'm insanely jealous of the people that I'm me, and I'm insanely jealous of the places that you go, and I'm insanely jealous of the people that you know, and I'm insanely jealous of the hairs upon your path, and I'm insanely jealous of the spiders in your path, and I'm insanely jealous of the stains upon your sheet, and I'm insanely jealous of the stuff inside your feet, and I'm insanely jealous of the things upon your bed, and I'm insanely jealous of the dresses in your head, and I'm insanely jealous of the people that you love, and I'm insanely jealous of the fingers in your glove, and I'm insanely
That is a fade out. That was Scandal featuring Patti Smith. Smythe. I don't. It says with a Y, but I'm not familiar with the Patti Smythe. It's the Warrior. Before that was Insanely Jealous of You by the Soft Boys, and before that was Narcissist by Hunters. Jessica, I want to talk about Canada.
I love Canada.
So I watched Yoga Hosers again the other day for the second time, the Kevin Smith masterpiece Yoga Hosers. I didn't finish it again because it's very much a movie that you can just kind of like go in and out of.
Yeah. There are
chapters to it, certainly. Mm-hmm. There's like the first part where they're like, where you're introduced to them and they go to school, and then there's the second part with the Satanists, and then there's like the third part with the Nazis. For those of you not familiar with this movie,
you just spoiled it all. So
I mean, I feel like watching the trailer, you know that it's about two Canadian teenagers fighting bratwurst Nazis.
Bratsies.
See, that's the thing, is they use that in the movie. They say it's the Bratsies, as if people would just get that they're bratwurst Nazis. But you can't, and that kind of works because they're little bratwursts that are dressed as Nazis. But they're actually, like, to be a little more specific, they're not dressed like Nazis. No. They're dressed like Prussian soldiers.
Yeah, they have like the little, like, World War II with the pointy.
World War One. That's World War One, where they had the little Kaiser helmets.
Exactly, with the point on them.
Yeah. So it's not the most, like, obvious thing that they're bratwurst Nazis. So when you say it out loud, people are just like, what? It's like, no, they're little bratwursts, but they're Nazis. Wunderbar.
Oh, gross.
It's so funny.
I
Avidazen.
Really enjoyed their little band in the movie, because they have a band.
Yeah.
And
so this is, let me give more context. Okay. This is a Kevin Smith movie.
Love him.
Kevin Smith's an amazing
man.
Not
his movies.
I like most of his movies.
I feel.
And I love a couple of his movies.
Yeah, I love maybe two of his movies, and I tolerate more, and then I hate Chasing Amy.
I don't get the hating Chasing Amy.
I hate Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy to me is above, like, Mallrats and Clerks. Mallrats and Clerks, I'm just kind of indifferent
to. I kind of hate Mallrats, too. I don't mind Clerks.
I don't mind Clerks. I mean, I understand, like, it's an impressive movie that he made, like shooting an ultra-low-budget, like, movie that's also, like, interesting and fun is, like, hard to do.
I wouldn't call it fun.
Okay.
All respect to Kevin Smith, who, again, I love.
Death Merchant. I'm just kind of indifferent to Clerks and Mallrats.
I
like Chasing Amy, albeit, like, I find things in it that are problematic. But I also think it's dated, and I also think it's problematic because he has a good heart and he was trying to be very ambitious, and it's also a little dated, right?
Right. I mean, I think there is a line of, like, movies Kevin Smith made before he became a dad.
Yeah.
Not that fatherhood should change anybody's perspective on anything, but I think it does to a certain
That being
degree.
Said, I don't think there's anything wrong if fatherhood changes anyone's perspective.
No, especially if it's for the better, and I definitely think it is. I think...
Yes, pardon me. There's nothing wrong if fatherhood changes someone for the better.
Sure. I think Kevin Smith is such a dad now. If anybody follows Kevin Smith on Instagram, his captions are about, like, 3,000 words long. Mm-hmm. And they're all just about how grateful he is for his life. And it's very sweet and funny. And they rescued a dog. And
his mom calls him Tiger. And he mentions that all the time.
He really does. It's so cute.
Yeah.
He likes to make movies about Canada now, which I also like.
Yeah. Well, this is Kevin Smith's trilogy of Canadian horror movies.
Ugh.
The first one being the only real horror movie, I think, in the trilogy.
Tusk.
Tusk. And the next two being comedies more in line with his style. But the second one in the trilogy, Yoga Hosers, was essentially written as a vehicle for his daughter and Lily Rose Depp, Johnny Depp's daughter, to star in their own movie. And that makes it sound bad, but it's actually it's a movie with a lot of heart, and I like that. That's the thing I like about Kevin Smith movies. They all have heart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's go back to Clerks. It is like sort of a redo of Clerks in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And for the better, I would say, like, take everything you didn't like about Clerks and add some bratwurst Nazis and you have yoga hosers.
Yeah, it's a much more colorful Clerks with female leads.
Sorry, didn't like and get rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the good things about Clerks.
It's all the good things about Clerks. Yeah. And it's more colorful, it's more fantastic, regardless of even the Nazi stuff.
It's literally more colorful than Clerks.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, but it's more colorful in terms of like the world too. Yeah. You know, there are a lot more characters that are quirkier, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fun film, and there are like problems with it. Like it's a little piecewise is a math term meaning kind of put together and different.
Made sense to only you, but okay.
It's like a lot of different things put together.
Sure.
Like I feel like it's not like a very cohesive movie.
No, I would agree with that. It is, I mean, if you were like, this is a character study, like I would almost go for that, except for it's not really. It's just like...
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a vehicle.
Yeah.
For just like fun things that Kevin Smith came up with when he was stoned, I think. And also like his love for his daughter. Like, but there are some really interesting things about the movie that like I was watching it and I thought, you know, another director would really do this a different way, and I really appreciate the way Kevin Smith did it. Like, so there's a scene where Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith's character, Colleen, is trying to hook up with this boy, and he turns out to be a Satanist trying to kill her.
Can I just for a second say that boy is Austin Butler, who is Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical's long-term boyfriend, and their Instagrams together are adorable.
Wow, go on. He's great too, and his Canadian accent is hilarious.
Yeah.
So he ends up being a Satanist, and he's trying to sacrifice her, and he's about to kill her, and two things happen, right? Which is, The first one is she pulls a knife on him.
Her mom's date knife.
Yeah, her mom's date knife.
Which is hilarious.
It's a switchblade. Yeah. She pulls a knife on him and essentially gets him to back down on her own. And then he is killed by one of the bratwurst Nazis that crawls inside of him and kills him from the inside. That's the most... The way the bratwurst Nazis kill people is the only like horror aspect of the film, I think. In reality.
Yeah, and it's not even scary, it's just horrifying to look
at. Yeah, it is just weird.
It's gross.
But I any other director would make it so that, or any other like male director nowadays making these types of movies would make it so that she was saved by the bratwurst Nazi killing him. Right? They wouldn't have the part where she pulls the knife out on him first.
Maybe.
Because in some ways it's kind of redundant, but the redundancy is very important. Because it's what, I mean, it makes her less of a victim and more of a character with agency, I think. Which is very interesting, right? And mm-hmm. I thought that was, like, good on Kevin Smith. Like, I feel like even years ago, Kevin Smith would have done that move of oh, they get saved by... Actually, no. I'm trying to think about it. I don't know, but I think most directors would kind of make it so that she'd be saved by the bratwurst Nazi. And it seems almost so jarringly redundant that I feel like maybe in the original script that's how it was, but then he was like, oh no, we can't do this like on set or something. I don't know, but it was a very interesting moment to me.
It's a movie I recommend everybody watching because it's fun.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about Canada. I wanted to talk about how that movie made me want to live in Canada, but I can't live in Canada.
Everything makes me want to live in Canada.
I really love them as a country.
They're so lovely.
Like, and as a culture, like, I would love to be in Canada, but I can't. I mean, I feel like living in the States is a part of my blood at this point.
I often have that internal debate. As much as I love hunky-hunky Justin Trudeau.
He's cool. He does some cool yoga stuff.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Have you not seen Justin Trudeau do yoga?
No.
Oh, there's, like, photos online of him, like, doing, like arm balances and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I love him.
I have his book. Sometimes I just look at the cover.
I've got nothing wrong with Justin Trudeau. I'm down. Some of my friends on campus would have problems with Justin Trudeau, but he's a neoliberal. Did you know that? You know, Justin Trudeau is a neoliberal.
Can we play a song from Yoga Hosers? Can we play O Canada?
I don't like really any of the music in Yoga
Just
Hosers.
Play something.
I'll play a song.
Play a song from Yoga Hosers.
Oh, wait. First, I need to alert the public as to many of the dangers that may or may not be
very important
on the horizon.
Everybody,
oh, this is a good
pay
one.
Attention.
Yeah. Here is, a good one.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Don't you know what I'm suffering from? Ease my pain, make it wash out with the rain. Relieve me and put it up on your shelf. Take it away and give it to somebody. To know me best, you chose me out of all of the rest. Take me home with you and help me forget. Let's take the worst and somehow turn it into the best.
We'll be right back. sex. And I can't recollect. I've had a time in my life. She has all my respect. She has all my respect. And I cannot protect my heart from her command. If she's stringing me along the belt, her leg is strong, so I can't detect it. She's coming up behind me in the morning, loving when I least suspect it. Every single thing about says I can't be wrong. And every time she gets a satisfaction, I want her to control me all night
to get killed. I want to destroy.
That was the Soft Boys with I Want to Destroy You. And before that was Connected by Love and Respect Commander by Jack White, both the A side and the B side off of his recent single, Connected by Love. Both album tracks off of the new album, Boarding House Reach. Jessica, what's your favorite Canada fact?
My favorite Canada fact?
It's favorite Canada fact.
Poutine.
Let me give you mine. Think of a Canada fact.
All right.
Mine is that in the Canadian Bill of Rights, it guarantees them a right that the UN then took and put in its language, and that a couple other countries throughout the world have in their constitutions. And again, the UN lists it in like the universal like human rights thing, but America does technically not have this right on the books, which is security of the person. In their constitution, or actually I think it's in their Bill of Rights, they're guaranteed life, liberty, and security of the person, instead of pursuit of happiness, which was kind of a throwaway line in the first place. And it's interesting, right? Because it's like security of the person. It's like, what is that? That's like body autonomy, right? Like they don't have the no cruel and unusual punishment, like right in their constitution, but like security of the person kind of encapsulates that. It's just like a more elegant way of saying like no cruel and unusual punishment, and also privacy, and also like it's such an important right, and we don't have it technically. We've got like aspects of it written in throughout different places. And Canada has it.
Oh, I love Canada.
Yeah.
Do you want to know my favorite Canada fact?
Yes.
Now? Is that their $1 coin is called the Loonie because it has a loon on it, and their $2 coin is called a Toonie because it's $2.
I knew. What's the technical name of Canada currency?
They're
the
Canadian dollars. Currency?
That's stupid.
I guess
they're called U.S. I guess like in the U.S. they're just called U.S. dollars.
Exactly.
Because the yen. I wonder if yen is just a word for like translates to dollars. Like I don't believe so.
I believe yen is just translates to yen. There is no translation. Like it is like the equivalent of dollars, but it's just yen. It's like a different thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like the word dollars we have really only is applicable to this one thing anyway. So maybe they just use yen as if we would use the word dollars.
Well, yeah, because it's currency.
Yeah. So, okay. So dollars is kind of the name of our currency.
Yeah. That's correct. I don't know. I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a story I just saw on Facebook.
Okay.
There was a couple living somewhere, urban, I think, and they had a pet teacup pig named Pickles.
Okay.
Pickles is a very good pig. Good little pig, Pickles.
Okay.
Pickles gets really, really sick one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rush Pickles to the vet. They don't know what's wrong with him. Him? I think, yeah. Pickles is a him.
Okay.
I don't know how Pickles identifies. And the vet says... They do like an x-ray, and the vet says that Pickles has accidentally consumed rat poison.
Ooh.
And Pickles only has 6 hours to live. And they're like, the vet is telling them they gotta say their goodbyes because like the only way to save Pickles would be to do a blood transfusion, and there are no spare pigs in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And Pickles' parents say, well, what if we found a pig? And the vet's like, if you can do it within 6 hours, then yes. So Pickles' parents, being responsible millennials, go to Craigslist and they start searching for a pig. And they find a farmer living on the outskirts of wherever they live, but far enough away that it's not necessarily convenient, who mm-hmm. has a 450-pound commercial sow that he is trying to sell. And they contact the farmer and they say, can we borrow your 450-pound pig to save our little teacup pig Pickles' life and do a blood transfusion? And the farmer says, yes, but I have no way of getting this big pig to you.
Yeah.
And they go, well, that's okay. We'll rent a U-Haul. So they rent a U-Haul, and it's down to the wire now. They rent this U-Haul, and they pick up this 450-pound pig. Again, that's a big pig.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it in the U-Haul, and they drive it to the vet. And they actually miss the 6-hour window by 1 hour. But Pickles is still hanging in there.
Yeah.
And they perform the blood transfusion right away. And this big pig saves little Pickles' life. Okay?
Okay.
And so then the family goes, well, we got to save this big pig's life now because, you know, that farmer was just going to sell it to slaughter, basically. Because it is a slaughtering pig.
Yeah. It's 450 pounds. Yeah. Correct.
So they buy the pig from the farmer. They name that pig Tickles.
That's so hilarious. It's
Tickles and Pickles.
Okay.
And they're like, well, we can't keep Tickles because Tickles is a 450-pound pig. And this is not like the other couple I know that own a commercial pig, Esther the Wonder Pig, who's on Instagram. I have Esther the Wonder Pig's book. And Esther didn't write the book herself.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
I figured.
Then the couple finds a farm, and they contact the owner of the farm, and they say, listen, this big pig Tickles saved our little pig Pickles' life, and we just need to find a good home for her. And the farmer says, I want to stop you right there. I know about all about Tickles and Pickles because he follows them on Instagram. And he's like, I'll take her. And he just takes the pig from her, and now Tickles is living in a very nice farm, and Pickles comes to visit occasionally to see the big pig that saved his life.
That's sweet. How big is Pickles?
Pickles is like a teacup pig, but he's like a small dog, like Chihuahua. He's got to be like,
yeah, I know the type.
7 or 8 pounds.
I've seen one of them once on campus. Weirdly enough, someone had one just kind of wandering around. I didn't touch it.
You should have.
I don't want to touch a pig.
I want to touch a pig.
I don't want to.
You know what I want to? You know what animal I want to pet?
What?
A cow. I just want to stroke her on her nose and look into her big, beautiful brown eyes and see my future and my soul.
Reflected your future
back to me.
in the eyes of a cow.
Yeah. I think I would find peace there. I would like accept the sweet release of death, but not right away. But like, I would just learn to not be afraid of it. Like looking through the cow's eyes.
That's okay. Okay. I didn't pet a horse one time, but when I was in Italy, there was just like a horse hanging out in a piazza somewhere. I think it was
Is
like
there
strapped
more
up.
Italian?
It was like strapped up to like a carriage, I think, or something. But it